You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News. Yesterday, the town of Smithers announced that they will be embarking on a $7.5 million project to upgrade the current wastewater treatment plant. Over $3 million will be offered by the federal government through the Federal Green Infrastructure Stream of Investing in Canada Infrastructure Program, also known as the ICIP, as well as the provincial government will be contributing an additional $2.5 million, with the town of Smithers making up the remaining $2 million for the necessary upgrades to the facility. According to a Town of Smithers press release, these upgrades will ensure the community's wastewater treatment plant is prepared to sustain the growth of the community over the next 20 years. Our reporter Pam Hassan was on the scene to speak with members of the facility's operations staff and Mayor Gladys Attrill about what the upgrades mean for the Town of Smithers. But first, as warmer temperatures melt the remaining snow, more than 80% of BC is still under a drought warning. At the same time, we are seeing an early start to the wildfire season, with crews already monitoring and in some cases battling holdover fires from 2023. As BC's Wildfire Service works to get crews and resources into place, we check in with the Northwest Fire Center's Information Officer, Morgan Blois, to get an update as to how preparations are going locally and what communities could expect in the coming weeks and months as the wildfire season kicks off. Stay with us.
My name is Morgan Blois. I work at the Northwest Fire Center based at Smithers as an information officer. I've been up here for just over a year now.
As I mentioned, I just wanted to touch base about some of the preparations going on in the Northwest Fire Center, getting ready for this upcoming or what is already a fire season in BC's Northwest. It seems like it's one of the earliest, if not the earliest ever. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the Northwest Fire Center right now.
Yeah, for sure. So we are seeing those elevated drought conditions from last fall, 2023, persist through this past winter and now into the spring. We are in some areas of our region about 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule in terms of drying and the warm patterns that we're seeing, as well as snow melt and stuff. So we are seeing, a bit of a early start to our spring season. Typically up here, we see kind of two parts to our fire season. Right now we're in that spring grass fire season. Then we go into a bit of a lull typically before hitting that summertime wildfire, big forest fire season. So as for what we're looking at right now, we do have a holdover fire in our Nabina fire zone that was a fire from last summer that's kind of burned throughout the winter and has popped up with some heat now again this spring. And then we have had another incident, just a small under a hectare size wildfire as well. Seeing those early season conditions kind of bring a lot more activity than we're typically used to at this time in the year.
Yeah, no doubt. I could imagine. The fire you mentioned just south of Houston is the one, I believe. That's the only one that seems that is being registered right now as a holdover. But there are a whole lot of others that are along the border between the Northwest Fire Center and the Prince George. What kind of happens when those fires kind of start up as well and move over into the Northwest Fire Center? What kind of resources are in place or going into place right now?
I don't cover the Prince George Fire Center, so I don't know what typically or like what is going on with their holdovers currently. I do know, however, as an organization, holdovers are something that we try to catch early in the spring. Usually when we have a holdover, it's only a portion of our fire from last year that's burning. It's not the entirety of it. So it could be just one flank or like under a hectare, maybe even just a, like a stump or two here and there burning within that fire perimeter. So we don't usually see those fires expand past that throughout the spring. We do put a lot of work into scanning them and monitoring them right now, especially while we can allocate resources to them because we don't have new fires starting quite yet, or we're just not seeing that elevated fire start yet. So in terms of those fires in PG crossing over into our boundaries, I can't really speak to that as I don't know what the situation with those fires are, or like each one specifically can be different, of course. So, but yeah, we do have crews coming back right now. We have probably, about 50% of our crews back, and we'll see them come back again in April. And then our last intake will be at the start of May. By then, we should have all our staff back and ready for the season. Outside of that, we're just doing infrared scanning. We're doing patrolling, monitoring these fires so that we're not seeing elevated activity on them throughout the rest of the spring, hopefully.
If there are active fires before then, because obviously it looks like we're still in a drought and it seems pretty dry out there, what happens if not all resources are in place? What kind of mechanisms in place?
Yeah, for sure. We do have crews back as well as aircraft and heavy machinery is all being onboarded right now. So I would say we are prepared to react to any activity that we do see. Obviously, depending on resourcing, it will be very similar to how we manage that in the summertime, going through our priorities and kind of, prioritizing which fires need to be responded to and which ones can wait, or maybe bringing in outside resources from the region and borrowing from other parts of the province in order to respond correctly to those incidents.
Every year seems to be getting a little bit more intense. What's different about this year? What other new resources are being put into place?
We have been seeing a trend in the last year or so of activity kind of increasing summer to summer. And from last season, we did struggle with resources and not having enough people to respond to every incident we saw across the province. So this past fall and winter, our provincial staff have really prioritized our onboarding and hiring process. So we do have, we did have way more applicants this winter, and hopefully that will end up with filling more positions. And there are constantly, in the last couple of years, more positions being added to each center. And so for the Northwest Fire Center, I'm not particularly sure on exact numbers at this point, but I do know every base has got increased numbers for crews and how many people that they're able to look after this summer. And hopefully our staffing issue will improve throughout the spring and summer this year.
Obviously, throughout the summer, people like to have campfires. If folks are thinking of having a fire this summer, where can they find out if there are fire bans in their area?
Yeah, this year we are introducing a brand new app and update to our website. So hoping to make it a bit more user-friendly and add a lot more information for the public to find. So in terms of figuring out what prohibitions are in place in your region or your area specifically, going to bcwildfire.ca is the best way to figure that out. Currently for the Northwest, the Bulkley and Nadina fire zones will have a Category 2 and Category 3 prohibition in place starting on Thursday, March 28th. So keeping that in mind, on top of that, making sure to be diligent with putting out your campfires in the next few days, making sure all of your pile burning is put out and not smoldering anymore past Thursday at noon. And then in terms of going into the spring, it's really important, and we really rely on the public's help in terms of reporting wildfires. So being diligent in, if you see unattended campfires, any smoke or anything that's maybe giving you the idea that there is fire in the area, making sure just to call that in, reporting it through the app, or sending photos in to kind of get that on our radar, because sometimes we don't always know, and we rely on people in their area to be notifying us of what's going on.
And, you know, just the last thing for you, Morgan, if there are times during the year when people need to react to a fire, how can they report a fire, and what else should people be preparing for?
Yeah, I think in terms of preparation for this summer, and obviously we're pretty far out, so to predict whether it's going to be busy or not is a little bit hard, and we're kind of waiting for precipitation results in June to really give us a better idea. But with the anticipation that there is a high potential for it to be busy, making sure your property is fire smarted, you don't have wood piled up against your house, you've cleaned some of the brush up, you can go to the firesmart.ca webpage and get more information about what you can do and what steps to take in order to protect your property. That's a huge help for us, as when we're sending people in to do structure protection, they have to do that if you haven't done it beforehand. So that takes a lot of our time and resources in order to protect homes. So if you can focus on that in the spring, that's the best way to kind of help prevent any hiccups or issues coming into the upcoming season. And then in terms of reporting wildfires, you can call it in, call *5555, and you'll get into our reporting center and talk to someone where you're able to give a description of what's going on, as well as going on the BC Wildfire app. You can send a photo of what's going on, and information specifically about what you're seeing, as well as that app can be used while you're out of service. So if you're camping, you're hiking, you're somewhere where you don't have cell range, then you can still take your photo, do all your information, and as soon as you're back into service, it'll send that report to us so that we can get a really good idea of what's going on, as well as a timestamp of when you put that information into the app, so we know how soon and what the delay was in terms of getting that report to us.
All right, Morgan, we'll leave it there for now, but we thank you so much for your thoughts today and information.
Yeah, for sure. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
That was Morgan Blouse, Information Officer for the Northwest Fire Center. Coming up next, Pam Hasson reports from the Smithers Wastewater Treatment Plant.
So this is where most of the actual mechanical action happens here. So this is our solid screener. Some people on the team call it a muffin monster.
Okay.
So what it's doing is all of the influent that's coming in from the town of Smithers is going through this piece of equipment, and there's kind of like a bar that brings everything up, and it diverts the solids over to this,
mm-hmm.
and it shoots all the solids out into this bin, and we capture the bin, we take it out, and it goes to the landfill.
This is what I couldn't get over, is that the engineers couldn't just add another elbow.
Yeah,
right.
They want you to see the whole process.
Yeah.
Here's what's coming out.
Yeah. It actually works good for people who are coming in to tour the facility.
Totally, yeah.
Because then they get to see it head on.
Yeah. Personal,
yeah, yeah, it just works its way out on its own, yeah.
I know.
And then the rest of the influent, now that the solids, well, not most of the solids, have been removed, then they make their way from here into the lagoons. Yeah.
So
how else is this stuff treated? As far as it's separated, that's it?
It's just separate.
That's it.
Come down to Super Bowl.
And this isn't what's tested?
No.
No, okay.
No, what's tested is over on the other side.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Yeah, because we want to test our treated effluent.
Like, is it toxicity levels, or what is it that it's...
There's, the effluent quality, there's... it takes away some oxygen demand for aquatic life, so that's one aspect of it.
Okay.
And there's also total suspended solids. So even though we're trying to take out as many solids as we possibly can, some still make their way through the system.
Okay.
And if they don't have time to settle out in our lagoons, they do make their way out into the Bulkley River. So the intention with this project is to get our effluent reporting levels back down to an acceptable level.
And that sludging process, which I think would actually take out some of those solids as well, that's just not part of how this lagoon works as well? Like, you're just doing it to implement the new system?
Yeah, essentially it would add more lifespan to our lagoon systems.
Okay.
Yeah. And add more retention time,
yeah.
So better treatment.
And Gladys, is this the green? This is the green investment.
This is investing in Canada infrastructure program. Green
initiative, something. The reason I was asking, not that I specifically need the name that I can't look up, but is this the one that was applied for in 2021 that was denied, and then this one was accepted now?
You know, I have to really go back through my memory.
Because I think we spoke about that then, but I'm just wondering if you have any idea why it was successful this time around.
You know, the only thing I could say is that staff worked really hard. Like, these grant applications are impressive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you learn, you put the application in, it was denied, try to follow it up, get some feedback, and then fill in the blanks. So I think staff just worked really, really hard on this application. And also, you know, credit to Taylor and to Nathan, but going in and saying, like, if you're, you know, on the one hand, you're saying we need to do better.
Yeah.
It's an $8 million project. We cannot tax raise for this. Yeah. So the only way we do better is you actually have to deliver the funds to help us. So I think that push as well. So a better grant application and then a lot of push, because honestly, we all want it to, we want the effluent quality to be the best it can.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, 1% tax raise is $80,000. It takes us a long time to get to $8
million. Mm-hmm. But Smithers is putting in $2 million of its own money. That's correct. And that's already been budgeted for?
Yeah. It's in
okay,
the budget.
It's in the budget. We're good.
So, Mariska, the specific... So it's coming out of reserves.
Yep.
And I couldn't tell you right now, but I could tell you later
okay.
which reserve. It's in the budget.
Okay.
Because, as you know, we had the Community Growth Fund and we have our Northern Capital Planning, the reserve. And so... finance department has been looking at those reserves and trying to figure out how do we best use our reserves to backfill these grant applications, because we have to have some of our money.
Right.
So it is coming out of a reserve, but right now I couldn't tell you for sure which one. William can for sure.
Okay.
And if I remember, I can let you know that later.
I think just reserves.
It's coming out of reserves.
Yeah. We have the money.
We do have our portion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, well, you can't actually even do the grant application if you don't have
okay.
the money.
So, yeah. All right. So it's not like it's coming in the future. This is have the money.
Yeah,
okay.
So we can do that. And, I mean, the other thing you can do as a community, but fortunately we're not doing that, you can borrow.
Right.
But borrowing, depending on the scale of borrowing, means you have to ask permission from the ratepayers.
Right.
And so it's always risky to rely on borrowing. So when we've got it in the reserves, that just means when we get the grant, we're good to go.
Yeah.
So that now Chris and his crew aren't going like, we always have to wait. He knows the money is there.
Yeah.
So they'll just go ahead and do the project. So it's really much better that way to have a bit.
That was Pam Hassan reporting from the Smithers Wastewater Treatment Plant, speaking with Director of Operations Chris Lawrence and Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrill. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.